Pastor David Coleman here. So glad you've tuned in today. I want to give you men a personal invitation to come and be with us right here, Harvest Worship Center, on the 29th of March at 10 o'clock. We're going to have a meet and greet. We're having a men's conference called Raising Young Lions. We're living in a time where we're in desperate need for God to touch our young men. So if you have a son, we want you to bring him. Meet and greet starts at 10 o'clock. We're going to have donuts and coffee and some other things. We want to get to know each other a little bit. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to break off and come to the sanctuary here in the Harvest Worship Center. Bishop Lance Johnson from Ranger, Georgia, is going to be preaching to us the Word of God. Lance is a powerful man of God. He's preaching all over Kentucky right now, and Kentucky is on fire. You don't want to miss this men's conference on March the 29th here at the Harvest Worship Center, 10 o'clock meet and greet, 11 o'clock service. Raising Young Lions. So come on out. Let's raise young lions for this generation and see the glory of God move in Jesus' name.
Ed Boy looked like he should be on Dukes of Hazzard. I'll tell you this part. I was waiting to get his mother out of an argument that was going on in the house, and he goes, "My mama, she's got the devil in her." And I thought, holy mackerel. And I knew for a fact that that child had probably seen what I saw in my spirit when she came out of that house. Now, I don't like telling this because most people think I'm crazy. But when she opened up the truck door, the boy was sitting on my front seat, and she reached in to hug him. And she bent down, and she looked up at me and goes, "He's all mine." And what I seen for a second or two was what she was in the spiritual realm. She was evil. She was a serpent. It looked like a scaly face. And I just, oh, God. And that little blonde-haired boy, cute as he could be. Folks, it exists. Don't deny it. Don't turn. And if you're in that situation, if you're not prayed up and ready to do battle, don't just stop and back off and tell me, or we'll go out and see these people, but we'll be prepared. So please offer your services to God, not me, not this church. And I want to tell you what drew me to this church. Well, God sent me here. But when I came in, what I was impressed with wasn't this magnificent choir or orchestra up here. It wasn't even our beloved Pastor David. He's a great man. I told him one time when Perry Stone was coming, I said, Dave, why do we need Perry Stone? We got you. But these people need your help. Please, when I came into this church congregation, I saw a tongue over here speaking, one over here. I heard a word of prophecy. I seen people coming forward. I see hands laid on. I seen them. This is what a church is all about. Amen. And you're one in a thousand. Believe me, you're one in a thousand that understand their place in God's kingdom. Right now, we're here. But anyway, that's enough. I've spoken too long. I'm sorry, David.
Amen.
Okay, we're just going to move on. Ushers, if you'll come, we're going to receive the tithe right now. Just the tithe, not offering. The offering will be going towards the honorarium that we give to Corey Ball Ministries. So we're keeping it separate because it helps our ushers that way and helps me out a whole lot too, so. The tithe only. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to receive this morning. And for those that have already given online, we understand those that still give cash or checks, this is for you this morning. So just the tithe only. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may receive. Then we're going to have some good praise and worship and get your offering ready to bless Corey Ball Ministries in just a few. Amen. God bless you. And you can stand with us after you receive.
Let me hear you give God a good praise this morning.
Yes, Lord.
And I was had the privilege of meeting Corey's mom and Nana. They're behind him there this morning. I'm telling you, Corey, you better behave yourself, boy. It's
your sting. Where, O grave, your victory? And where, O death, is now your sting? And where, O grave, your victory?
Come on.
And where, O death, is now your sting? And where, O grave, your victory?
Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive.
Stories that have proved your faithfulness. I've seen miracles my mind can comprehend. There is beauty in what I can't understand. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. I believe in the wonder working. The wonder-working God, all the miracles I see, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles you see. Resurrect a man with my own hands, but just the mention of your name can raise the dead. All the glory to the only one who can. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you.
We've seen families reunited. We've
We've seen broken bodies healed. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen real life resurrections. We've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen families reunited. We've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen troubled souls delivered. We've seen addicts finally free. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen sinners in revival. Life was patient, but the streets. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell. Say he's too good to not believe. How many believe that you can believe God and he can do the impossible? How many believe you can speak to the mountain and tell it to go? It has to go. Yes, Lord. They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it.
God, we believe.
name above your name, Jesus. We believe that if we speak your name, the mountain has to move. Somebody say yes, Lord. We believe, God, that the works of darkness crumble and fall, Jesus. Oh, we believe it, we believe it. Can you just tell him this morning, say, I believe it, Lord.
Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
Come on.
Jesus.
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Come on, lift your hands to him right now. Begin to call on that name. Somebody say, Jesus. Name today. Lift him up. Come on, speak that name. Speak that name into the atmosphere. Say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. We want the ushers to come. Come on up here, young man.
Amen. I'm grateful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Such an honor to be back. We said this last night, I believe. Maybe 5 years now in a row I've been coming since 2020, I believe. So that's just awesome. Building so many relationships, seeing so many familiar faces. It's always refreshing to come here. I said last night, it's so cool that this county has a public school that allows you to do that stuff and has a public school that has a praise and worship team. That's insane. Like, you don't see that at all. I'm heavily involved in the youth around the nation, and this is the only place I know of that has a public school praise and worship team. And that's just really cool. Amen. Amen. Well, it's such an honor. It's amazing. I heard 70 kids. I was too caught up last night to really count. I was just someone in our Pentecostal circles. I was drunk. So, but we give God glory. Come on, one more time. Can we give God glory for what he did last night? Amen. Such an honor, just such an honor to be able to carry his word around the world and to see him glorified. Amen. I shared a little thing last night that I want to share just a touch this morning. Then I'm going to go a whole different direction than what I did last night for those who were in the meeting yesterday. But I do want to share this one little thing. My brother, your penny, I left it somewhere, so I owe you a penny. The parable of the lost coin. A lot of the times we read the parable of the lost sheep, and familiar with both parables, but the parable of the lost sheep is definitely more highlighted than the parable of the lost coin. And I was really just invested in this little passage of scripture over the past couple weeks. And it goes from Luke 15, 8 through 10. And then we're going to jump to Luke 17. That's where the meat of the message is this morning. But before we go any further, can we just pray over the word this morning? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we just bless your word. God, we're grateful. Lord, we're grateful for the word of God. We're grateful for this opportunity to present your word. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me this morning from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. God, I pray that none of my flesh would come out, but all your spirit. Lord, only what you want to say, let it be released in this room. Nothing that I want to say, only what you want to say, Lord. And I pray that your message comes across to the hearts of the people and their hearts respond to the call of the gospel that draws every man unto repentance. So, Lord, we thank you this morning. And everyone says, amen in Christ's name. So, Luke 15, 8 through 10. And it says this right here. Or suppose a woman has 10 silvers a coin. 10 silver coins. So, he's continuing a couple verses up. He was just telling about the parable of the lost sheep. So, he's continuing a story. He said, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light up a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call all of her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin. In the same way, somebody say same way, there is a joy in the presence of God and God's angels when even one sinner repents. And I'm reading from the NLT this morning, even when one sinner repents. And if you've been in the church circle your whole life, or you've probably heard it many times, that when one person gets saved, there's a party going on in heaven. Amen? And it's so true. And God's heart for the one person. And I love this story, the parable of the lost coin, because in this time in which we believe this was wrote, coins probably had way more, not probably, they did, more value. This currency was kind of the currency of the day. So if she loses a coin, she is going to sweep the house to find the coin. In today's world, if you lose a coin, it's a coin. At least, maybe not all of us, but my generation, what's a coin? Gen Z, I've grown up my whole life. It's been a dollar bill, a check, credit card, debit card, Apple Pay. Come on, that's what we got now, Cash App. Coins, who uses coins? And as I was reading this past, now one time I shared this last time, my mom used to collect coins. I mean, we had a whole water jug full of coins. But I don't do that anymore. And I was talking to the Holy Spirit, and I said, Lord, if I lost a coin, I wouldn't sweep the house, but if I lost $100, man, I would look pretty hard. If I lost $1,000, ain't none of you leaving until we find it, amen? None of you. And I was saying, but a coin, I could go on and not really be too upset over a coin. And I began to think, even something as simple as a penny, if I lost a penny, none of us are really stopping over a penny. And if you stop over a penny, man, that's awesome, good for you. But the majority of the room, I don't think we would stop over a penny. It's just 1 cent. And my entire life, I don't remember one thing a penny, just one penny could buy me. Do any of you remember a day where a penny could buy something? Come on, that's incredible. All right, that's incredible. Like, that is ancient history. I'm sorry. Like, I have no clue what that's like. Like, my entire life, I couldn't even buy anything with a quarter. Like, a dollar, yes. I remember a dollar, yes. And now the dollar stores, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. It's a dollar store. No, it's not. That's a lie. You're just lying to the people. You guys remember the day where you could buy stuff with a penny? Okay, throw something out at me. What could you buy with a penny? Bubble gum. Okay, penny candy. All right. wow, is this, that's awesome. I never in my life did I experience those days. And I started to think the value of a penny. I was like, Lord, no one would really stop for a penny. And then the Holy Spirit began to minister to me. You see, this is how a lot of us begin to think about ourselves. That we don't have the value of much of anything. Maybe the value of a penny. That if I go missing, who would really look for me? If I pulled out, who would really come find me? If I'm going through something, who would really care about talking to me? If I just disappeared, went off the radar, would anybody come looking for me? A lot of the times we think we have the value of something that's not really cared for. And I begin to think, and I deal with youth around the nation, and the common denominator that we see, depression, anxiety. It's these kids, and used to be it was the partying and the drinking, and that's still things we encounter, but the majority of the stuff we encounter is depression and anxiety and mental health, and these kids just think they have nothing to give, and they're worthless, and no one cares, and it's a lie that the devil has whispered in their ear that they believe is a truth, and they think they have the value of a penny, that if they go missing, who would care? And the Holy Spirit began to deal with me and said, even if it was something as simple as that, how many of you know God's still going to sweep the house? How many of you know God's still going to turn the light on until he finds it? God's going to stop everything. And then when he finds it, come on, somebody, how many of you know heaven's going to rejoice and heaven's going to dance? So I have a mission and a mandate. Somebody say mandate on my life. To speak the value into the next generation. To speak their value. Last night I said it like this, and I'm not just to the next generation, I'll say it to all of you as well. You're not just worth something. You're worth everything. You're not just worth something. Being worth something's great. I'm glad I'm worth something. The majority of our room, whether it's big or large, we all have a net worth. It's good to be worth something. That we have a little skin in the game somewhere. Like, I own a house, and that's good, and I have a little bit of money in the bank. That's good. It's nice to be worth something. But in the terms of God towards us, he says you're not just worth something. He says you're worth everything. And this is the beauty of the scripture. You're coming up on Easter season, and 2,000 years ago, he came to the earth. Why? Not because you are worth something, because you were worth everything. The Bible says he endured the cross for the what? The joy set before. This is you being worth everything. He defeated death, hell, and the grave because you were worth everything. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for you because you are worth everything. And when it's all said and done and he returns, he's coming back for you because you are worth everything. The entire story of the gospel is this love note from God himself to us saying, you're worth everything to me. But there's another side. There's another side to it. And it's the call from us back to him. God is not just worth something in my life. God is worth everything in my life. He is everything to me. I love him with every ounce of breath in my body. All, everything that I have to give, I give to him. I love him the same. I love him, and when I say the same, it will never be the same because we can't wrap our head around his love for us, but I will try my best to love him the same. He's everything to me, and we're everything to him. The Bible also says that in 2 Peter, and I'm going to get to this later, that he doesn't want anyone to perish. And I've read in some translations that he doesn't want just one to perish. He doesn't want one person to perish. Why? Because you're not just worth something. You're worth everything. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants you to come to him and have a relationship with him. And I believe the room this morning, the majority of you do, and that's great, and we cherish that, and we praise God for that. But hear my heart this morning. Maybe some of you, you're battling with a mindset that's not from God, and the enemy has whispered a lie into your ear, tried to tell you that you're less than, that tried to tell you it's not going to work out, that's trying to tell you no one really cares, that's trying to tell you you should just give up. And I've come to make the devil mad this morning, and I've come to tell you don't don't give up, keep going. I've come to tell you this morning that God loves you. God cares for you. God has a purpose for you. Come on, you might be in your 50s or your 60s and say, brother, I've done missed my opportunity. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. If there is breath in your lungs, there is still a purpose on your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, how many is ready for the word this morning? The title of my message this morning, we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. I love the account of Luke. Arguably, outside of the Gospel of John, my favorite in the Gospel. We're going to go to Luke 17, 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19 today. This is where we will be. Again, I'm from the NLT. So, we're going to be talking about don't forget the one who made you whole. Don't forget the one who made you whole. As I begin to write this message and study, I begin to remember people in my life who put me in places to succeed. I'm sure if we begin to think about that over our own life, we would remember the people that positioned us to do well, that maybe sacrificed so that we could have something. I remember to think about my parents and my dad and people who sacrificed and worked hard in my life. So I, in high school, didn't have to get a job. And when I went to college, I could focus on school and all this because there was people in my life who worked hard and positioned me to be in places to succeed. And as I've grown older and I'm walking in things, I look back on that and I say, I am so thankful for those times in my life where I was put in positions to succeed. I was put in places where I didn't really have to worry too much about everything because there was people kind of doing stuff for me and setting me up to be successful. And I don't forget it. As I get older, I'll even not just my family, people in the ministry who, and this house being one of them, one of the first places I've ever preached at, and so many around the world now in the nations, and it's like I remember places, and I remember the first couple doors that opened to me, and I remember the people that believed in me first, and I remember those places and those faces, and I'm thankful for it. And today I want to talk to you about a story in the Bible where God healed 10 people, but only one came back grateful. So if you have your Bible, we're going to go to Luke 17 again, 11 through 19. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And remember this part, it's a real key to the message. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, just one, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan, and he said, Jesus asked him, "Didn't I heal 10 of you? Didn't I heal 10 of you? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to me except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Again, don't forget who made you whole. Philippians 4:4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always." You know this. "And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say," come on somebody, we're going to get it in you this morning, "rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say," rejoice, "rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say," rejoice. Let the posture of rejoicing be how you live the rest of your life. The rest of your life. You see, in moments and environments in God's presence, we're quick to praise God over what just happened. But when time kicks in, sometimes we forget what happened then. And this verse reminds me, I will rejoice in the Lord always. I will rejoice in the Lord always. I'll remember his goodness. I'll remember his faithfulness. I'll remember that he was there when I needed him. I'll remember when he healed my body. I'll remember when he broke drug addiction. I'll remember when he broke the alcohol. I'll remember when he set me free. I'll remember when he gave me peace. I'll remember when he restored my family. I'll remember. I will rejoice in the Lord always. Now catch this. Even when it's hard, I'll remember. Even when I'm sick again, I'll remember. Even when my family's falling apart again, I'll remember that if he did it once, he can do it again. So I will rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. You see, rejoice means to feel or show glory. To feel or show great joy. To feel or show great joy. You see, be full of joy for what God has done. Be full of joy for what God has done. It's easy to be full of joy when everything's going right. It's hard to be full of joy when everything's going wrong. But some of the most powerful men of God I've ever encountered, in the middle of their hell, they have a smile on their face. In the middle of disaster, they have a smile on their face. In the middle of persecution, they have a smile on their face. In the middle of what we would say, how are you still going? They have a smile on their face. And I begin to have dialogue with these men, and I would talk to them, and I would say, man, how are you so full of joy? And you know what they would say to me? Because God has been so good. Brother, all hell is breaking out, but God has been so good. Brother, they left you, but God has been so good. But they literally left, but he will never forsake me. My Bible says that the righteous are not forsaken. He will not leave me. Brother, you're sick. Oh, but God is so good. And I remember I would be almost flabbergasted, and I would be like, God, what in the world? It doesn't make sense. But there's a posture of joy that the believer has to learn how to live in. That doesn't make sense to the world. There's a posture of joy that you have to learn to dwell in that doesn't make sense to the world. Why? Because this is how I feel the Holy Ghost. Why? Because this power, this gift, this anointing of joy that Christ himself gives to us is what will make the difference when disaster breaks out. When disaster breaks out around the world, when things are going wrong, they look to the church. Why do they look to the church? Because there is a joy unexplainable, full of glory, that doesn't make sense. Watch it throughout history. Wars break out. They look to the church. Disaster breaks out. They look to the church. They love to persecute the church when everything's going good. But when everything falls apart, look. They look to the church. Government looks to the church. I mean, it's incredible. Why is that? Because the joy of the Lord. You have a smile on you that doesn't make sense. We got to learn to dwell in it. And how do we dwell in it? It's just living and abiding in the peace of God over our life. That what God has said, he meant it with everything in him. And if he said he was with me, he's with me. Even when it doesn't feel like it. If he said it, he's here. He's here. Can you say amen? Amen? So never let your gratitude and your thankfulness for what God has done in your life expire. Never let it expire. Maybe you've not seen something new in a while, but don't let your gratitude for what he did then ever expire. Don't let it ever expire. I love this statement that I've heard, and I don't even remember who said it, but I can't take claim for it. I use it all the time. That if God never does anything else for me,
He already did enough. If God never heals another body, we know that he will. But if he doesn't, he's already done enough. If we never see the breakthrough again, we never see, even though this all will happen, amen? Because he, I love it, he is the Lord of the harvest. We will see revival. We will see the church full. We will see generations saved. We will see it. But even if it never happened, he's already done enough. He's already done enough. I will remember all that he's done. You see, I think it's fascinating that one of the 10 lepers came back to Jesus and gave Jesus praise for what he did. You see, sometimes you just have to be the one. You just have to be the one. You be the one in your family that'll love God with everything in them. You be the one in your family that will pray when nobody else knows how. When no one else wants to or even knows how to, you'll be the one. You be the one to begin to trust God like never before. You be the one to begin to live in this place of rejoicing. You be the one that says, you know what, family, we're going to church again. We're not going to miss. You be the one. You be the one, dad. You be the one, mom. You be the one, grandparents. You be the one. Quit looking to everybody else and be the one. I believe that this leper was walking with his buddies. And we're going to get into it at the end as they went. So Jesus didn't heal them in the moment. You got to remember this. This is the text of the scripture. The context is very key. Jesus didn't heal them in the moment. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. So there's a journey. Oh, that's a message for now. So there's a journey. And they're walking. And I can only imagine they're together. They're still sick. But they're walking in faith of what God said. Sometimes you got to walk in faith. Sometimes you got to believe what he said and go. Well, I don't see it yet. Go. Well, I got sick again this morning. Go. Well, I just don't know. Go. Walk in it. And as they went, the Bible said, they were healed. And I can only imagine that as they were going and their body was transforming, because leprosy is a devil. And as they were looking at their skin and seeing what was happening to them, and you can only imagine all of them were, oh my, what in the world? And look at what's happening. And oh, hallelujah. I can only imagine. I wonder. We don't have a verse for this, but it's just my imagination in this moment. That one who ended up going back. Wonder if, as they were walking, he began to say, and they're getting healed and restored, and they're all in amazement and looking at each other, and what in the world? I wonder if he was like, okay, who's going to, are we going to go back? That's great. We'll show ourselves to the priest, but we're going to go back to this Jesus man. I wonder if that began to go through his head. Right, who's going to lead us back? Who's? Come on, guys. We're going to go back. Who? Oh, we're going to go? We got to go back to him. Look what happened. I was wondering if he's waiting for somebody to be the one. But then time ticked on, and he was like, all right, you jokers are ungrateful. I got to go back to him. I feel the Lord on this. God is so kind and so good. This is fascinating. We know the other 9 were healed. And God is so full of love and mercy and goodness, he let them be healed even though they were ungrateful. They were stubborn. That's the heart of God. Knowing they would never come back to him. You got to remember this. How can I say this? Because he broke bread with Judas. And Judas was about to betray him. He kissed Judas, loved on Judas, drank with Judas, fellowshiped with Judas, knowing Judas was about to go and rat him out. This is the heart of our God that says you're not just worth something, you're worth everything. So he said, you 9, I know you're not going to come back to me, but you go be healed. This is his heart for us. But that one person, that one leper, not me. I can't hang around ungrateful people anymore. I got to go back to the one that made me whole. And I can only imagine that journey back to Jesus. And he gets back to Jesus, and you can hear the emotion of God as you read the text. You can hear the emotion of our Lord. You can literally hear his heart. Because Jesus said, "Didn't I heal 10 men?" He knew that he did. "But didn't I heal 10 of you?" You can hear the emotion of his heart. "Where are the other 9? He knew where they were. He's God. It's like when he came to the garden and Adam and Eve were hiding. He knew exactly where they were. He knew where these other people were at. But you could hear his heart. You could hear his heart. "Has no one returned to give me glory except for you?" It was almost as if you could feel God's heart breaking a little bit. "Where's the other ones?" But then God locked eyes with this one. And he said, "My, your faith has made you whole." But you could hear God's emotion. "Where are the other 9? And all throughout Scripture, I can kind of connect the dots where I hear the heart of God in a way that's, I don't want to use the term desperate, because our God is not a desperate God. We're desperate for him. But almost in the sense of how much he really cares for us. And when we don't come to him, it shatters. Because we're everything. We're not just something. And when one doesn't come to him, there's a party. But when the others don't come to him, I can only imagine it's his heart. "Do you not know? We're going to be separated forever if you don't come to me now." But I made my mind up reading the text that I wanted to be like that leper. That I'll never forget the one who made me whole. God, I will never forget all that you've done for me. The rest of my life, I will live in a place of rejoicing and gratefulness and thankfulness for what you have done. I'll be the one. When nobody else wants to praise you, I'll praise you. When nobody else wants to go, I'll go. When nobody else wants to dance, I'll dance. Come on, somebody. When nobody else wants to do it, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. Because I love you. But another thing I want to highlight is back to what I said a minute ago. As you go. I look around this room today and I see a lot of you. I believe you're believing God for something. You're holding on to something and you're believing the word of God. And I want to encourage you this morning that as you go, as you go today, as you leave service today, I have so much faith on the inside of me this morning that as you go home today, things are going to change. As you get home and you begin to eat lunch and you begin to be with family, things are going to shift. Unexpected phone calls are going to happen with family members and loved ones. I believe healing's going to break out in your body. I feel the Holy Ghost. As you go. I believe you're going to see it. I believe you're going to encounter it. Almost like that verse in the Bible. This time tomorrow. Come on, somebody. I believe as you go. As you go. As you go. I believe things are going to happen. But you got to walk in it. You got to walk in the word of the Lord. You got to walk in what God says. You got to walk in what he has promised you. And you got to believe it with everything on the inside of you. You know how hard it was probably these 10 men to walk away? Remember how they called to him. Master! They knew who he was. They knew the miracles he's performed. You can do it. And in the moment, you would think they were like, oh, he's about to do it right here. Right now. And a lot of times, it's how we are with God. which is not a bad thing. Hear me. God can do it right here and right now. I've seen it many times in church services and when we do mission trips and evangelizing. I have seen God do stuff right here and right now. There was one time I was our pastor and we were praying and a deaf woman came and he got the most outrageous word of knowledge. We knew she was deaf, but what he did grossed me out. He put his fingers in her ears. He said, I know this is going to sound really weird. He said, but the Lord told me to put my fingers in your ear. And he's going to open your ears. And I was like, bro, where's the hand sanitizer? That is disgusting. And he gets his two fingers, puts them in there, and begins to pray. Pulls his fingers out. And she's, screaming. I'm like, you hurt her. You hurt her, dude. You busted her eardrum. Like, what? But the scream was not of pain. The scream was, oh, my word. Do you hear that? And we're like, what do you hear? The first time in her entire life, she heard her baby cry. She heard her husband speak. She heard her children's voice. They didn't have to do sign language anymore. Mommy can hear now. Mommy can hear. And I remember I looked at Pastor, and he's just giving God glory. And I said, that's who I want to be. I want to be the one that hears the word of the Lord and walks in the word of the Lord, even if the world says it's crazy, even if the world says it doesn't make sense, even if people say you shouldn't do it that way. If God said it, I'm going to walk in it. And these lepers, God said, go to the priest and you'll be healed. As they go, they were healed. But actually, he didn't say, he said, go to the priest and show yourself. And as they went, they were healed. Somewhere along the journey, they were healed. I want to let you know, somewhere along your journey, he's too good to leave you broken. He's too good to leave you despaired and torn apart. He is too good. As you go. As you go. And I love this. And he says, when you go to the priest, and we understand the context of Scripture, revealing yourself, showing what God has done, but I really want to highlight a different vein here. Is go show yourself healed. It's almost just go testify a little bit of what I've done. Go show the world a little bit. As you go, you're going to get healed. Then show the world. Show the world. Show them what I have done. And I've come to tell you, when you get your breakthrough, tell everybody about it. When God does it, tell everybody about it. When God heals you, don't keep it to yourself. When you're checking out, when you're going out to eat lunch, tell your server. When you pay the bill, tell them. When you go to Walmart, tell them what God has done. Tell everybody. Let the world know what the Lord has done. Let the world know. And when the world knows, and when my family knows, and when my friends know, and not just big stuff, like people should know you're saved. That's the biggest thing. Amen. Not just the healings and the, I ain't going to tell nobody about Jesus. No, tell the people. As soon as you give your heart to Christ, that's the biggest and best. That's the greatest miracle of all. Tell the world, I don't live for myself anymore. I live for him and him alone. This used to be me. You remember me then? Yes, we remember you then. Then this is me now. No way. How'd that happen? His name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. They never thought you could be the way you are. They never said you would be clean. They never said you would be whole. But this is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He will take the broken, make them whole. He will take the ones people wrote off, and he will use them. The power of the gospel. So don't just wait to tell. Tell as soon as you give your life to Jesus. But then when you see the breakthrough in other areas, let everyone know too. But I love this. And the leper came back. Go show the priest. Put it this way. Go tell everyone what's happened. You reveal yourself to everyone. But I want to be like the leper. I want the world to know. I want the people to know what God has done. But I always want to come back. Because if you're not careful and you don't come back, you begin to let this seed creep in your life called pride. Called you've done it on your own. Well, if you're a minister in this place, this is a thing that can happen if you're not careful. God will give you many things and you will see many breakthroughs. You will see crowds. You will see people. People will support you. Money will come in. You're like, my word. And if you're not careful, there is a seed of pride that will come into your life that will make you think you've done it all on your own. But I want to be like that leper. I says, yeah, this is what happened. God did this. This is glory. This is amazing. But I got to go back to him. And I got to tell him how grateful I am. After I preach every service, I might not be able to do it as soon as I'd like to. Like today, we got to get back to Charlotte as quick as possible. So we can get back home to Florida. When I get home, my kids, my daughter will be awake. My sons will be out. My daughter, she's like, she'll wait. When I get home, I'll spend time with them for a minute. See my wife, talk to her. But man, before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to make a journey back to that person named Jesus. I'm going to go back to him, and I'm going to lay before God tonight, and I'm going to say, thank you. Thank you for this weekend. Thank you for the 70-plus souls that gave their life to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the money we had to get here, for the food we had to eat. Thank you, Lord, for the people I encountered. Oh, God, thank you. I want to be like that leper. And a lot of times we think we have to have something drastic and big. No, this is just how we should just live. God, thanks for waking me up this morning. God, thanks for putting breath in my lungs. God, thanks for the food on my table. Thank you for the drink I have. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the sheets on my bed. Thank you. Thank you. I want to be like that leper that doesn't forget the one who made me whole. Stand to your feet all across this place. Before I preach anywhere, I preach out of my little iPad as my best friend. We do everything together. I know my sermon's pretty good, so if she ever kicked the bucket on me, I should be able to still preach, but man, I love my little iPad. I'm grateful that she came. But in my Bible, my iPad's a tiny one, so it can sit in my Bible. And on my Bible, I write down stuff, and everywhere I go before I preach, I read this to myself. It's preach to glorify the Son. Preach to see people saved. Preach under the anointing. Preach to make disciples. Preach. Preach, Corey. Preach, Corey. You can do it. Amen. I talk to myself. And then I go out and I give it all I have. Everything I do is to glorify the Son. That's why it was the first at the beginning. It's all for his glory. It's all for his name. It's all for his glory. And tonight, or this morning, sorry. I do that a lot. When you travel and preach everywhere, it seems like you say night in the morning and good morning at night, and it's like, everywhere I go. 8 p.m. service. Good morning. Nope, you missed it. But everything we do is to glorify the Son. Everything we do is to bring glory to His name. This morning, I close this message out with a call to every single one of you to be like that leper. You don't forget how good God's been to you. I know you haven't seen it in a while, but man, he was and he is good to you. Nobody else might be giving him glory. Oh, but I'll separate myself and I'll go back to him and I'll give him glory. Just by a show of hands, and I guarantee it's every single one of us. If God has been good to you, can you just lift your hand? It's the whole room. Come on, if God's been faithful to you, can you lift your hand? There was a time in your life where you couldn't have made it. You couldn't have done it in your own strength. Maybe you were sick and you need to get healed, or maybe your heart was broken. And oh, there was God. If he's been a healer to you, if he's been a mender to you, if he's been there with you when nobody else was, can you raise your hand? So hear God's heart to all of us tonight. This is how He's been to the world. But who are the ones that are going to come back to Him and say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done. I'm afraid, church, we don't live in a place of thankfulness enough. So if God's been good to you, I want you to come to this altar and just give Him thanks this morning. That's the call. I want us to just come thank the Lord this morning for how good He's been to us our entire lives. How nice He's been, how kind He's been. Thank Him for your children. Some of you weren't supposed to have children, and now you have children. You better give Him thanks. Oh, don't let the devil steal your thankfulness and your gratefulness. Come on, today you're returning back to a place of thankfulness this morning. You're returning to a place of thankfulness. You couldn't do it on your own. Give God thanks. You weren't strong enough, but He was strong. Give Him thanks. You were supposed to die, but you're alive. Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. Lord, we thank You in this place this morning. We thank You in this place. We thank You in this place. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. Come on right now. I want you to get the things on your mind that you're most grateful for and thank Him for that. Right now, just begin to thank Him for your family, your children, your spouse, your job maybe, your house, whatever it is. Thank the Lord for it right now.
Pastor David Coleman here. So glad you've tuned in today. I want to give you men a personal invitation to come and be with us right here, Harvest Worship Center, on the 29th of March at 10 o'clock. We're going to have a meet and greet. We're having a men's conference called Raising Young Lions. We're living in a time where we're in desperate need for God to touch our young men. So if you have a son, we want you to bring him. Meet and greet starts at 10 o'clock. We're going to have donuts and coffee and some other things. Want to get to know each other a little bit. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to break off and come to the sanctuary here in the Harvest Worship Center. Bishop Lance Johnson from Ranger, Georgia, is going to be preaching to us the Word of God. Lance is a powerful man of God. He's preaching all over Kentucky right now, and Kentucky is on fire. You don't want to miss this men's conference on March the 29th here at the Harvest Worship Center, 10 o'clock meet and greet, 11 o'clock service. Raising young lions. So come on out. Let's raise young lions for this generation and see the glory of God move in Jesus' name.